Hey, brothers and sisters, I want to bring you some edification today on an interesting topic that I think will enlighten you. We're calling this one Ashamed at His Coming. Ashamed at His Coming. As we blood-bought saints focus on our risen Savior and all He's done for us by His death, burial, and resurrection, the repentance He draws us to, the new life He gives us, the holiness and obedience and endurance He helps us walk in by the Spirit. I just preached the gospel to you very quickly. Let's focus on the concept as we live out that gospel of not being ashamed before God, but ready to meet Him, either at our death or His second coming. Let me share some scriptures. Old Testament. Ezra knew about this ashamed way over the sin of people before God. Ezra 9:6. And he said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities, that's sin, are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heaven. So he knew what it means to be sinful before God and then be ashamed before God, not be ready to stand before God. Terrifying thing, isn't it? How about a godly wife to a husband? Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed, that would be by her sin or some other false way, is as rottenness in his bones. Wow, rottenness in your bones. I can't think of anything deeper in your core that would be an issue. And that's what being ashamed can cause. Sin is at the root of all of this. How about some people, this one from Jeremiah, that sin and they're not ashamed? We know a lot of people in the world and churchianity like that today. Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. That blushing is like part of being ashamed, turning down, knowing what you did wrong, being humble about it. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. And at that time I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So, not a good thing to sin and not even be ashamed before God. That's a terrible place to be in. So for this teaching, this quick teaching, I want to encourage my brothers and sisters to strive and live in a manner that removes that shame, removes that guilt. Obviously, it's done ultimately by Christ's perfect work for us, but also how we live. Do we live in willful sin? Are we practicing it? Okay, this is what we see going on. I'll give you a couple examples here. And so how we live, and it affects us whether we're going to be ashamed before God, this holy God, in the last days or at our death, either one. And again, Christ makes the perfect way for us via his work at the stake, the cross. But we as his people, his sheep, are called to follow, obey, to strive in holiness, without which no one will see God, Hebrews 12. If you're not holy, you're not born of God. If you're not born of God, you won't see the kingdom. You see how this all ties together. Now, we have a great hope if we cling to Christ, who is our spiritual ark, if we avoid our flesh as much as possible, if we leave willful sin, if we walk in a manner that's worthy. Over 20 times it tells us to be worthy, many times it tells us to be worthy, over 20 times it tells us to be perfect, complete, mature in the New Testament, we can definitely live in an unashamed manner towards God, ready to see him at our death, or at his second coming. What a glorious thing to be ready. It's kind of like when the police show up. Are you running from them and fearful, or are you just sitting there going, hello, officer, how are you? If you're ready and you're not committing crimes, no reason to run. If you're a criminal and you have much to hide, you're going to run, be fearful, ashamed. You're not going to want to stand for them at their appearing, are you? No. How about some examples? One from the Old Testament, Adam and Eve. Go read Genesis 3. They were naked. They were without sin. They sinned. They hid. They were ashamed. Good example, isn't it? Yeah. How about in the New Testament, we're to study to be approved and needing not be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I like that. And then how about Peter, also from the New Testament? What happens to Peter? He's with the Lord. He denies him three times. The rooster crows. He was sorrowful and he wept over it. He's ashamed. It's a form of ashamed. to not stand with and for the Lord against accusers. Let me get to my main verse for this quick teaching. 1 John 2:28 through 29. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There's that word. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So you catch this? We're not going to be ashamed. Why? We're living in righteousness. Christ, our perfect righteousness, but then we walk in righteousness. Why? It's a fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:9, goodness, truth, and righteousness. Let's look at that word ashamed in that verse. Ready? It literally means, I feel ashamed, be ashamed, to disfigure, dishonor, with shame, make ashamed, be ashamed. I think in the English language that all of us know, pretty clear what ashamed means, right? Absolutely. And we know when we go into sin, how does that make you feel? You have a good standing with God when you live in willful sin? No, only when you're cleansed by the blood of Christ, by walking in the light, as John says, then we can have fellowship one with another, and he will cleanse us. So being ashamed, not a good thing, either at your death or his second coming. But let me give you some encouragement about God and being ashamed. Ready? Did you know God's not ashamed of his true people? Check this out. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Yeah, we're the brethren of Christ. Christ isn't our brother. We're the brethren of Christ. We're brothers of each other. But what a glorious thing. God's not ashamed of his people. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I love that. Looking for that eternal city. As a van dweller, I have no city. I'm just roaming a nomad all over for Christ. But God's preparing an eternal city for his people. So I just want to encourage you, saints, brothers and sisters, in these last days or at your death, if you go to be with him, I may be closer to death than some of you by age. I'm in the winter of my life. Many of my brothers and sisters are in the spring of their life, but any of us could die at any time. Ready? We should be looking for, living for, in holiness, and happy to go be with him at our death or at his second coming. Why? Because we're walking worthy as his brethren, as his people. Yeah, worthy, many times in the New Testament. Perfect, many times in the New Testament. Means complete and mature. Blameless. Okay? To keep ourselves spotless. And so, how are we living that we can be not ashamed at that day, on that day? Psalm 25:2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. I like that. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. You hear those dingings? That's all brothers and sisters sending messages to each other. I like keeping that on my audios. You know why? That gives me great joy that I have brothers and sisters edifying each other. Guess what? We're not ashamed of Christ. I could silence all that, but I don't like to. It's a great reminder to me as I see what's going on behind the scenes. Brothers and sisters, some of them all over the world, encouraging each other in the faith. I love that. So let us not be ashamed, saints. This is my main point here. Let us be ready for our death to go be with the Lord or his second coming. Ready? You want to know what the opposite is of this? The world and churchianity, we know this is true, hates the truth of God and hates his second coming and hates much of this. They love their sin. You want to see the opposite of not being ashamed, but being ashamed or being terrified? Check this out. This terrifying situation. Revelation 6:15-17. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of the one that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Yeah, Christ came as a baby in a manger. It's almost the pagan Christmas time. Guess what? He's coming back as the fiery lion of Judah. His wrath, he's not a little baby anymore. He's going to be the fiery lion of Judah It says, hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Yeah, they were ashamed, not ready. Maybe not so much ashamed. Some people live in their sin and they do it. Paul says they take pleasure in unrighteousness. But they definitely were not ready to stand and face the Lord, were they? No, not at all. They're hiding from him, most of them because they hate him. And you might say, well, why is this important? Well, you heard all that dinging on my phone. Why is this important? Well, we as believers want to encourage each other. Hebrews 3:13, daily exhort each other. We call out sin. We expose idleness. We correct each other. We test each other. We hold each other's arms up. We laugh with each other. We cry with each other. We're ready to go be with the Lord. We better be. We're ready to break bread and have the Lord's Supper together. We're ready to gather and be his people. We better be, or we're in grave, grave danger, are we not? We better not be ashamed. Otherwise, we're hiding something. We haven't cleansed ourselves in the blood of the Lamb through repentance, have we? No, how are we going to bring him glory if we're not ashamed at his coming, our death, or his second coming? So let's be diligent till then, whether it's a year, a week, or 50 years, and joyous and not ashamed at his second coming or to go be with him at his death. Paul said, at your death, Paul said, to die is gain. I hope you see it that way. Because if you have a lot of sin in your life that's keeping you from being joyful about his second coming or joyful about going to be with him, you best deal with it now. It'll be too late at your death. There is no sacrifice for willful sin. We talk about it all the time. Hebrews 10:26. How about this final verse I have? 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Look at that. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of suffering for him. But be ready to stand as his people, looking to go be with him at your death or looking when the clouds part at his second coming, not being ashamed. I hope that blessed you. I hope that causes you to maybe examine your life. I got a teaching coming up on examining. Ponder. Is there any area in my life I need to examine that I need to work out with fear and trembling, as it says in Philippians, so that I may not be ashamed, that I might be ready, looking? You know what? Let me just tell you, last thought, life is so much better when you're joyous, you're anxious, you're excited, looking for your death or the Lord's second coming. Lord, the life in this Lord of ours is so much more edifying when you live that way than if you live in fear of going. Yeah, we should always have fear, but fear of going, oh no, I'm living in sin. I don't know if I can stand before this holy God. That's no way to live. Christ died and shed his blood to give us the joy and the peace that we can know we're ready to stand before God. But we have a part to play in this covenant, don't we? A husband has a part in a marriage covenant. A wife has a part in a marriage covenant. We have a part in this covenant. Jesus did his perfect work for us. We could never fulfill that part. We cannot be sinless. But we have a part to play in this covenant, that is to repent and follow him and obey him and walk in his ways and preach the gospel and look after and love each other and wait for his return or our death faithfully, diligently, with great earnest. Hey, I hope that blessed you all. Thanks for listening. This is the second time I did this audio. I had to catch an error I had. Thankfully, I caught it. I always test. I did an audio the other day about judging yourself, lest you not be judged. I'm sure one of my brothers would have caught my error if I didn't catch it. So I caught it, praise God, and I was able to correct it and make it right for his glory. I hope you're not ashamed of the gospel, our Lord, and I hope you are ready for his coming or your death to go be with him. If not, let me know how I can help you in that. That's what we're all about. Check out all the resources at don'tperish.com, the gospel, all the other thousands of resources. We're traveling. We're preaching Christ crucified. Love you all. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you again. I say it and I mean it every time. May God be praised.